feels like camping here. I'm excited. I am very excited about this week and what we're going to be doing. Let's see. Discover how to love like Jesus. That's really what we're going to talk about today in the message. And we're going to be in 1 John chapter 2. So join me there. Join me in the Word of God. And as you join me, I have a note-taking sheet we provided for you today. If you have your note-taking sheet, I want you to lift it high. I want to see all who all has it. All right, so a bunch of you don't. Or there's some up here. Holden, where's Holden? Right here. Can you grab some and distribute them? So if you want a note-taking sheet, we have them. Holden's going to get you one. So just walk around and make sure everybody gets one that wants one, okay? Appreciate you, buddy. And also, we have pens. Brand new pens. We just got 1,000 of these in. So we would love to give you one. Lauren, do we have pens? Lord, we got pens? All right, let's make sure everybody gets a pen today. And you can leave it or take it, but I encourage you to take them. And you can be an evangelist promoting Christ and His church by giving somebody a pen. So let's get those things distributed, if you don't mind. Because there's a lot of content in the message today. We're going to be doing some deep teaching, and I want to make sure that you stay engaged and you are able to take away. Oh, we don't have any of those pens in here? Okay, we can use these. Here's a jar up here. Let's just use these. Yeah. It doesn't matter. All right. Nikki wants to bless y'all today and get these spiffy minimalist pens that we have. You know, minimalism, that's kind of a thing in the design world these days. All right, I need to be quiet. Okay, y'all can see it's one of those kind of days. All right, 1 John chapter 2, we're going to read verses 3 through 11. So y'all pay attention. Let's hear the Word of God. Let's lean in this morning. John is preaching this sermon, and he's written it out, and he's distributing it to all the churches around the city of Ephesus in the first century. This is what he says to them. And by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in Him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. This is the Word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. All right, as a teenager, I had someone that I wanted to be like. Tony Hawk. All right, some of y'all know who Tony Hawk is. Others of you may be too young to know who Tony Hawk is. But Tony Hawk, the reason I wanted to be like him is because as a teenager, I was into riding skateboards. I was a skater dude back in the early 90s and late 80s. And Tony Hawk was like the Michael Jordan of skateboarding. And so I would watch him on TV compete in a half pipe. And Tony was just so smooth. I mean, he did all of his tricks effortless. And so I wanted to be able to do a 720 and a 900 twist. I wanted to do the airwalk like Tony Hawk. I wanted to to do all those things. And so I dressed like him. I wore the clothes, the skater dude clothes. I had the Vision streetwear shoes, the baggy shorts, the t-shirts with all the skating logos on them. I would get the catalog from California, the skate catalog, and I would order things out of there. I had the Powell Peralto skateboard. I had the independent trucks with the juicy wheels on there and all the bearings and all of that stuff. I was into it. And I even had the hairstyle. I had a flop. Do any of y'all know what a flop is? Yeah, some of you might know what a flop is. Well, a flop is where you kind of let all of this stuff in the front just grow and hang down. And you'd have to put so much gel in it that it would just be like a stiff board just running down the side of your face. I loved it, but my dad hated it. The teachers hated it. And they all let me know that they thought I needed to get a haircut. But Tony Hawk was the greatest. That's who I dreamed of being like. And y'all, when we read the book of 1 John, we're encountering someone that John says we need to emulate, that we need to be like. Listen again to what he says in verses 5 and 6. He says, "This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him or abide in him must live as Jesus did." John says that we are to be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. And then if you fast forward into the fourth chapter, which Tom had a singing out of a few minutes ago, John helps us to see the big picture again. He says, "This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus." So he's painting this picture here. Be like Jesus. Be like Christ. But here's the real deal for us, though. None of us can be like the Tony Hawks or the Michael Jordans, the Aaron Judges, or the Caitlin Clarks of the world. We really can't be like them. We could try to emulate them and maybe get parts of, you know, their skills down and all of that, but we can't really be like them. There's only one of those kind of talents and people in the world. But here's the radical thing. John tells us that we can actually be like Jesus, though. And that just blows my mind when you think about how in the world can we be like Jesus? Well, let's zoom out a bit. You know, in your Google Maps, you got that plus button. Let's zoom out. Let's take a big picture look here at what John's message is to see what he's getting at. How can we be like Jesus? What does abiding in Jesus produce in us? Now, if you go back at the very first chapter and look at verse 2, John says, "The life appeared. We have seen it, we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us." So it's something to do with eternal life. John is saying he wants us to get that. He wants us to have eternal life. But listen to what else he says. At the end of this sermon, so he begins by talking about eternal life, and then he ends by talking about at kind of his victory lap that he takes at the end of this sermon. It's kind of this crescendo moment, and I can hear him just preaching this part in chapter 5, in verses 11 through 13. He says, "And this is the testimony." This is it, guys. This is the testimony. This is what it's all about. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in Jesus. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. He says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life." So the key idea, the thing that John wants us to see, the solution to everything that he's writing about is this: God's purpose is not just to save you, but to fill you with the very life of His Son. And that's one of the fill-in-the-blank notes there for you. That's the big idea. God's purpose is not just to save you, but to fill you with the very life of Jesus. And it's called eternal life. Now, when we think about eternal life, we think about a future reality, right? It's something that's waiting on us to receive out there in the future. If I were to ask you, do you have eternal life? You might say something like this. You might say, well, I will experience it after I die. Eternal life is going to heaven to be with Jesus and all of our loved ones to experience life that will never end. Well, in a sense, you would be correct. That is eternal life, but there's more to it. In John's gospel, the gospel that this guy who gave us these series of letters, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he's the same disciple that wrote the gospel of John. And in the gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 3, he says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So Jesus defines eternal life not as a place or a time frame, but he describes it as a relationship. Knowing God, that is eternal life. Knowing God, not in the future, but right now. That is eternal life. Now, this is very interesting because that's the point that John also makes in the sermon. In chapter 2, he's been talking a lot about what it means to know God and the evidence in a person's life that proves that they really know God. It has something to do with this life. He begins in chapter 2 by telling us that the only hope of knowing God is through His Son, Jesus. If you look at verses 1 and 2 of the second chapter, He says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. You see, John is telling us that the solution is eternal life. This is what God has come to give us. The problem is sin. And the problem with sin is it separates us relationally from God. It separates us from knowing God. It separates us from the source of life. And that's a problem. But John tells us that Jesus is the solution to that problem. He is the remedy to the problem. Jesus connects us back relationally to God by cleansing us from sin and restoring us to God by dying for our sins and satisfying God's just punishment of sin. It is this relationship that we have been delivered from darkness, or it is through the relationship with Jesus that we are delivered from the darkness and brought into light, John says. And that's another point. So sin separates us from God and from life, but through Jesus we are brought from darkness into light. That's your fill in the blank there. So think of it this way. You know, John likes to think in these analogies, in these contrasts. So living in sin is living in darkness. It's living in separation. It's living without knowing God. But get this. What is light? We might say, well, it's salvation. Well, it's part of it. But John makes the connection to love. He says it's love. Sin is darkness. In darkness is hate. In darkness is separation. But in light, there is love. That's interesting too, isn't it? It's coming to an awareness of God's love for us. It's having God's love poured into us. And it's also having our lives transformed by that love. And it shapes in how we live and how we love so that we can discover how to love like Jesus and live it out. Okay? So there's the trajectory here of what John is taking us on. And so the formula is this. God is light and God is love. Okay? God is light, God is love. That's your fill in the blanks. Check this out. light plus love equals what? Life. Yeah, it's life. It's life. This is what God wants us to experience. The fullness of eternal life. Not in the distant future, but right here, right now, affecting how we live and how we treat people. Right now, life is one way to think of what the Bible means by eternal life. And y'all, as we think about VBS week and all that it represents, you know, it is about sharing Jesus' love with kids. It's all about that. And that's what we want to do this week, is we want to love on students. We want to love them and welcome them and help them to know that Jesus is for them, that Jesus wants to save them, Jesus wants to change their lives. But we also want them to know that church is a cool place. It's a fun place. And we want them to fall in love with not only Jesus, but also with His people, with the church. And so, this week, we have an opportunity to example for them what it looks like to live full of the love of Jesus. So, in order to do that, we have to put ourselves and what we want out of this week to the side. And we have to focus on loving them well. You know, yeah, we get to hang out with our friends and we get to have a bunch of fun games that we get to do and sing and have a whole bunch of fun all week long. But we need to be mindful that we're here to love on these students. And we're here to show them what it looks like for people to be full of the love of Jesus. And we want to point them to Jesus and not us. So don't make it about you. Don't be selfish. But we're called to be selfless and to consider the needs of the students that come in to these walls this week above our own needs. So always let us be looking at how we can bless them. Y'all, this week is one of the most important weeks in the life of our church. There's nothing greater that we'll do this summer than what we're about to embark on this week. And so let's do it well. Let's make sure that we're living as an example of what it means to be full of light and love, full of the life of Jesus. Now, let's talk for a second about how God imparts this life into us. I love what John said over in the 5th chapter when he says, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has His Son has life. So how does God impart this life to us? It's through Jesus. Jesus. But I need to clarify something that I think we sometimes get wrong. We don't receive this life through simply believing in Jesus and trying to alter our behavior. Let me explain what I'm talking about. It's not about believing and behavior, but rather it's about becoming and beholding. Becoming and beholding. This is the key, and this is one of the things that's in your notes there. So we receive this life not through belief and behavior, but through beholding and becoming. But so often we don't think that way. We think that being like Jesus means knowing stuff about Him. That if we're going to know Jesus, then we need to have the content. We need to study the Bible and read the Bible so we can know more stuff about God. We can know all that the Bible teaches about God, but that is not enough. Notice John says, how do we know that we know we love God? He doesn't say by knowing His commandments, but he says by keeping them. That's different. There's more to it. And also, you know, we think about, you know, our faith journey as changing our behavior. You know, We're following Jesus so that we can experience behavior modification. That is not the full gospel. You see, we don't live like Jesus by trying to copy his actions like he was some athlete or something. And we just go around dressing and emulating him. We know that's not what it means. Or else everybody here would be wearing a bunch of tunics and sandals and long hair and light skin complexion. Now, I'm kidding about all that. You know, that's that Renaissance Jesus that we've been given by those Italian painters. But you get the point. We know, really, that it's not about mimicking Jesus' actions or by loving more and sinning less. But sometimes we tend to make it about that. We're so focused on consuming content about Jesus and trying harder to be better by doing more stuff. Y'all, there's a name for that kind of thing. It's called self-improvement. It's called behavior modification. This makes our faith journey about moralism and performance-based religion. But there's more to it than that. John leads us by a different way into the world of transformation. And the way that we are transformed is through abiding and beholding, or beholding and becoming, by turning your eyes to Jesus. You know, this kind of thing harkens back to something John wrote in his gospel in chapter 15. You may remember there where John writes about Jesus teaching his disciples. He says, "Abide in me, and I will abide in you." It's about abiding. You see, that's how our lives get changed. That's how we're transformed. It's not by content and behavior, but it's by sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's beholding him. It's about having a relationship with him. It's about doing the kind of stuff that we see Mary doing in the gospel. What does Mary do? She sits at the feet of Jesus. She's immersing in the life of Jesus. She's beholding him. Paul talks about this same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. He says there, "We all, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image." He's saying, look, we sit at Jesus' feet. We behold him. We receive his love for us. And as we do that, we find something miraculous taking place. Our hearts begin to change. We become more loving like Jesus. We begin to take on his view of the world, and our lives begin to take on his fragrance. You see, you and I aren't meant to just act like Jesus, but we abide in him, we behold him, and over time we become like him. It's not about striving to do more, to be better, to be the best version of you that you can be. No, it's about staying connected relationally. It's about a daily fellowship. It's about a walk with Jesus and letting his Spirit transform us. And that takes place from the inside out. Y'all, this is the beautiful gospel that we know and we have come to believe in. Here's another fill in the blank. Faith isn't about improving your behavior to look like Jesus, but it's about being with Jesus until your heart becomes like his. Now, there's evidence of this. What is the evidence of knowing him? John says it's love. Love is the evidence of this. You don't just observe love, but you absorb it. And as you continue to abide in the love that God has for you, you begin to love Him in return. And the Spirit of God shapes your inner life so that you live in love like Him. Listen to what John says again. The love of God is truly perfected in whoever keeps His word. The one who claims to be in the light while hating a brother or sister is actually in the darkness, he says. You know, this is an interesting thing he talks about here, being perfected in love. That doesn't mean becoming flawless, but it means being fully grown, mature, complete in love. You know, John Wesley talked about this. Mother Teresa talked about this. C.S. Lewis talked about this. Dallas Willard talked about this. All of these wonderful giants of our faith have all pointed to this and talked about this level and measure of love in our lives, of being perfected in love as the goal of our discipleship. It's not about right actions necessarily, but it's about a heart that's fully formed in the love of God. And having Jesus in our life is the key. How do we abide in Jesus, though? How do we behold Him? What are some practices? And I have three of them that I want to share with you. Things that I have learned that help me to abide in Christ. You know, the first thing is Scripture immersion. Scripture immersion. And not just Bible reading. You know, Bible reading is great, and I don't want to diminish that. Sometimes we need to sit down and read through the Bible. We need to read it from cover to cover. We need that content, but we need something more than that. We need to immerse ourselves in Scripture. Don't just read the Bible for information, but rather slow down and meditate on who Jesus is. How is Jesus being revealed to us as we read the Bible? So we might read a gospel passage and ask ourselves these questions. What does this reveal about Jesus? How does this show me who Jesus is, the person? How can I respond in awe or in love to Him? Y'all, I take time whenever I prepare for a sermon. You know, obviously I'm reading content and doing all that, but whenever I really want to listen and try to interpret and hear a message that the Holy Spirit might be wanting to speak, I sit with these texts. I sit with them for several minutes, you know, like 30, 45 minutes sometimes, just reading, understanding, paraphrasing, studying different words and phrases and calling upon all of those tools that we have in our toolbox to help us to really understand, you know, a passage, like commentaries, things like that. Really trying to immerse myself. And when I do that, I find that God does a beautiful thing. I sense His presence in those moments. I hear His voice speaking through His word. And it helps me to really see the Lord, to see His love and how it's been revealed to us. So Scripture immersion is a practice that I would encourage you to take advantage of, to learn to practice. Another thing, the second one, is journaling. Journaling, beholding through reflection. You know, this involves sitting down with a notebook and writing. Write down daily what you see, how you see Jesus being revealed. How has God been revealed in your day? How do you want the Lord to be reflected in your life? Where are your growing areas? When you read Scripture, you know, what is it revealing to you about your own life? How is God changing you? What is God speaking to you? writing that down, taking note of that. Here's a couple of journal prompts that you might want to consider. What did you learn about Jesus today? Where have you seen Christ, the living Christ, manifest in the world around you? Where did you see His love or compassion or truth in your life or in the life of someone else? So journaling is a great practice. Write down what you're seeing. And then the third thing is worship. Worship, just what we've been doing in here this morning. But you can also do that at home. You can do that in your car. You can do that in your devotional times. You know, worship is about fixing our eyes on Jesus. It truly is an opportunity to sit at the Lord's feet. And, you know, part of my practice, my devotional practice, is listening to music, listening to praise music, worship songs, you know, pulling up something on YouTube and just immersing myself in that. And I like to choose music that lifts up the character and the beauty of Jesus. You know, that Build My Life song is a great song that just draws us right in to the love of Christ and how we are desiring that love to be, you know, poured into our lives, to have our lives built up on that strong foundation of Jesus. And so we let our worship become a space where our souls can behold Jesus and worship Him. And just make these bold declarations of who God is and how God is for us. And so worship is a wonderful way to fix your eyes on Him and let music lead you into awe and into just worshiping the beauty of Christ. So the thing I want to leave you with here as we wrap this up is that we don't become like Jesus by gritting our teeth and trying harder. But we become like Him by being with Him. It really is about a relationship. Think about a flower. You know, I've been planting a lot of flowers around the house over the last couple of weeks, and some of them are starting to bloom. My cone flowers are coming up in beautiful pinks and yellows, and there's just these purple flowers that we have planted in front of our breakfast window. Every morning it puts on new blooms and flowers, and every afternoon they kind of fall. Reminds me kind of, new every morning is the mercy of the Lord. And I also put them out there so that my wife, when she sees them, knows that my love for her is renewed every day. Isn't that, that's good right there, isn't it? Boy, that's good. Yeah. So I hope she's watching this morning down on the beach. Baby, I love you. I miss you. And this morning, those blooms, those flowers were just shining. You know, flowers. You know, I think about flowers. A flower turns toward the sun, doesn't it? It turns. They will actually literally turn in order to face the sun. And they slowly change as the light just penetrates them. The presence of that light surrounds them. Just reminds me of our hearts. That's the way our hearts are. They're transformed as we behold the beauty of Jesus, His grace, His love. Y'all, the goal isn't about our behavior, but it's about a deeper communion, a deeper fellowship. And it's from that place that real life change happens. It's not forced, it's formed. It's formed in us. So as we fix our hearts on Him, His love shapes us from the inside out. This is how we are perfected in love. The more we abide in Him, the more His love becomes our love. And all of this is made possible as God imparts to us eternal life. And this is what we get to celebrate and to live out this week. We get to sit at the feet of Jesus. We get to behold Him in our teaching, our worship, our fun, our celebration. And we who are leading VBS, we get to allow our love, our lives to shine with the light and the love of Christ and help students discover how to love like Jesus. Now, I want to close out with a prayer. It's a prayer for Mother Teresa, and we're going to have it up here on the screens for you. Boy, this is a powerful prayer. You may want to screenshot this and make it part of your devotional time this week, but it's a prayer for the presence of Christ. And I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Let's pray. Help me to spread your fragrance everywhere I go. Flood my soul with your spirit and love. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that all my life may only be a radiance of you. Shine through me and be so in me that every soul I come in contact with may feel your presence in my soul. Let them look up and see no longer me, but only Jesus. Stay with me, and then I shall begin to shine as you shine, so to shine as to be a light to others. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? Tom, would y'all come on up and lead us in our closing song today? And as we close out,